But a warm welcome to Stephen Hurwitz, who's from 361. I guess it's a good segue into the conversation about NASPAS and what we saw yesterday from the new chief executive, his 100-day statement. I asked Peter Armitage a little earlier, Stephen, whether he'd seen one of these before, and he said it reminded him of the politicians. Have you seen this coming through from a CEO, 100 days, and giving some feedback to shareholders as a consequence?
Hi, Alex. Thank you very much. To be honest, no, it's something that's very rare in terms of company feedback to shareholders. I think one of the historical issues that NASPAS has had in the past is that they weren't very friendly in terms of their engagements with various stakeholders. And the new CEO, Fabricio, is trying to address that.
And if you have a look at the content of the statement, Fabricio Bloisi, I guess is the way you pronounce it, is an entrepreneur. He appears to be, however, falling into a little bit of an AI-related trap, boosting the AI story. And I remember during the dot-com boom, everybody wanted to put, not everybody, but many of the companies put dot-com after their name and immediately got a lift in the share price. Are you impressed by the whole AI relationship?
So I think there's a lot of talk about AI and how it's going to change our lives, but for a lot of people, it's hard to see what the tangible impact is on a day-to-day basis. What is refreshing, though, is that NASPAS has released some case studies where they've actually gone through the examples of what type of AI software implementations they've had at some of their investment companies and how that's improved those companies. So, for example, at both iFood and OLX, they've shown how AI deployments have reduced the amount of fraud in terms of the transactions that have taken place. So these are pretty tangible interventions. I don't think that it's necessarily going to be a huge change in terms of what those companies do, but on the margin, it definitely helps. And I think that being able to automate many of these processes will make the companies more efficient going forward and also improve their profitability.
Stephen, the share price of Prosus was down 1% in South Africa, nearly 0.9% in euros. It certainly wouldn't have been the reaction that the company might have wanted after such a disclosure.
In the case of NASPAS and Prosus, the majority of the value is still driven by Tencent, which is their largest investment. It accounts for $120 billion of nearly $150 billion in NAV. So for the time being, a lot of these other things, while they definitely are helpful, they're not going to necessarily dictate the direction of the NASPAS and Prosus share price. That's going to be dictated by Tencent. Over the past couple of years, what caused the discount to blow out was poor capital allocation. So hopefully the discount will narrow over time if Fabricio manages to accomplish what he set out to do. But over the short term, it's mostly going to be driven by what happens to Tencent.
Are you feeling as though you can believe the statements that he's making, the projections that he's making, given that NASPAS and Prosus are so important in South African portfolios?
I am very optimistic about what Fabricio has planned for the next couple of years. I met him initially after he was appointed as CEO, and it was very refreshing to see someone join the business who had a ton of energy and was very excited about the prospects for the company. But ultimately, as I said earlier, most of the value will be generated by Tencent, and we are cognizant of some of the macroeconomic challenges that China has, as well as some of the geopolitical challenges that are currently taking place, especially if Trump were to be elected as US president.
Yeah, so that would not be a bullish factor, a Trump presidency for this company.
No, probably not.
When you just go a little or dig a little deeper into the numbers, he's talking about the profits or earnings before interest and tax being three times higher for the first half of this year than the year before. That looks pretty impressive, and I guess that it might finally be hitting its straps.
So it is quite easy to triple your profits when it comes off a very small number. So last year it was, I think, just under $30 million. So I think they're targeting about $100 million for the first half of this year. But you'll actually see much bigger growth in the second half, because if they do hit their targets, that implies that the second half will actually grow three times faster than the first half. So finally, the company is starting to look like they're going to be generating free cash flow, which will be a huge positive, because before, the company totally relied on their dividend from Tencent to invest in the rest of the portfolio. And now, for the first time ever, it looks like the rest of the portfolio is also going to be contributing positively.
And that's an interesting point. The investments that it's made with the money that came in from Tencent are now starting to themselves generate cash. One of those investments is Takealot here in South Africa. And reading through the details of the statement, it appears as though Naspers is fully supportive of Takealot, and we continue to invest in this loss-making operation despite the entry here of Amazon. What do you think its chances are of winning that?
I think that Takealot does have a pretty dominant position in the South African market on the e-commerce side. Amazon, while it has launched here, it has been somewhat underwhelming, although that may change in time. It's never good for a company to underestimate the competition. I think what's a much bigger issue for the likes of Takealot in South Africa is actually Temu, which is very difficult for them to compete with, especially on the cost side.
Yeah, it's a little bit like what we're seeing with BRICS now. The reports coming out of BRICS, the people on the ground there, is that BRICS could have a much bigger economy than the G7 come 2030, for instance, or at least that's what they're projecting. And yeah, you mentioned Temu, which is quite a concern, or should be a concern for Takealot. But the attention of most observers, other observers, is, well, Amazon's the one to watch out for. So I guess it's just kind of different strokes for different folks, isn't it? But would you, Stephen, be buying the shares? And I ask this because we do have Prosus in the BizNews model portfolios. It's done pretty well for us so far. And in fact, the share price is up in euros by nearly 50% this year. So it's had a good run. Would you be buying into it now, or are you expecting something different?
So while we do like the long-term fundamentals of Naspers and Prosus, and we continue to hold them in our own portfolios at 361, for someone who's looking at buying the companies, I would probably wait until some clarity on the US election. Maybe you get a better entry point if Donald Trump is elected.
Last issue that I'd like to pick up with you, and we had an article, we had a interview last week with Cedric Sewell, who is the legal counsel for Turkcell. Now, it seems as though the fight between Turkcell, which is claiming that it was cheated out of the Iranian cell phone license by MTN, has gone a bit on the back burner. Is it MTN a company that you pay attention to personally?
So we do monitor MTN, and we have invested in it from time to time. I think that if you have a look at these cases, they take years and years to work their way through legal systems. And I think that we're not going to get any clarity on that for a long period of time. The biggest issue at the moment for MTN, however, is their operations in Nigeria. That country seen its currency devalue massively, and it was one of the largest profit drivers for MTN. So until you see some stability out of Nigeria, which may come now that Dangote's launched his refinery there, and they'll be less reliant on refined fuel product imports, you could see a stabilization in the currency, but It's a very, it's not one of my preferred companies, let me put it that way.
Well, I'd like you just to listen in on this conversation. It's a highlight of an interview that Chris Stein had with Cedric Sewell, who's the Turkcell legal counsel.
In 2003, Iran puts out a tender for a GSM network in Iran. It's a huge opportunity because it's, at the time, it's a territory of some 70 million people, most of which don't have cell phones. So it's a really exciting opportunity. Turkcell, the Turkish telecoms company that I represent, puts in a bid. MTN puts in a bid, and Turkcell wins. And so Turkcell starts doing what is necessary to move the process along and finalize the license and get the license. And our allegations are that while Turkcell is doing this with the Iranian authorities, MTN, not happy with having been a runner-up, decides to meddle and inserts himself in these negotiations by secretly talking to the Iranian authorities, promising all kinds of things. We say they promised weapons, sort of introductions to weapons companies. They promised to lobby the South African government so that the South African government would take a different position on Iran's nuclear program. And we also allege that MTN paid Iranian and South African authorities bribes. And all of this led to Iran essentially kicking Turkcell out and giving the license to MTN.
Crazy stuff, isn't it? And then you overlay that what's going on in the Middle East and the whole BRICS summit today, where Iran is now a member of BRICS, has been introduced into it. And I guess you've just got to look at geopolitics when you're making investments. You cannot ignore it, as might have happened decades ago, when, or even a decade ago, when it was really Pax Americana.
There's definitely been a fracturing in terms of the global geopolitical order. However, it's quite easy to get caught up in terms of some of these geopolitical headlines. And I would just say that the best way still for investors to make money is actually focus on the bottom up and focus on company fundamentals, because it's quite easy to get swayed by day-to-day news headlines. And if you find good companies, they tend to do well regardless of what's going on in the rest of the world.
Stephen Hurwitz is with 361.